We're going on to another wonder in these Gentile brides tonight, and we're in Ruth. Amen. And so if you'd go ahead and turn there. And we're so thankful that these wonderful brides that we've been studying of lived such testimony and mystery for us. They lived it, and it was revealed to us, and I love that. And it's revealed to us by Paul's gospel. It was always there. They wrote these things that they lived, again, for their gain as well. Don't get me wrong. But these things were written. And if you think about the written word of God, I was rejoicing in that, is that that written word of God is written in his vessels. It is. And I thank God it was written in Ruth. It was written in Boaz. And thanks be to God, it's written in me. And for what was written in them, praise God, has even greater meaning for me because of these enlightened eyes of understanding that the Lord has given us by the Holy Ghost as we live in this time. It's marvelous. And do you see the oneness of the Word of God and how all-powerful this is? See, we're not really, in a sense, talking about individuals. We're talking about the Word of God. And that's what's so beautiful about it, the oneness in Christ, the organism. And it's like, well, stop there, because then you're just explode, because you can't really explain it anymore. But it is true. It's just abiding and living, and we're thankful it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But these wonderful stories, as we've been going through them, if you think about their lives, oftentimes the pattern's been they've been outcasts, the struggles, yet the glory that was revealed in them. And we see with each and every one of these precious women, they were circled out and they were chosen. It wasn't happenstance. It was exact. There was an appointment. They were met and they were meant for God. And I thank the Lord that we see that same encouragement to us. Praise be to God. We are circled out and we're chosen. And it's that same grace and mercy, if you will, is our inspiration and encouragement. When I look at me, I don't get any inspiration or encouragement. But when I look to his grace and mercy, I'll tell you what, I got all the encouragement and inspiration I'll ever need. Because that's it. That's it. And I thank God by his grace, it can be manifest in this vessel because of the grace of God. But I understand it's not the vessel, it's the treasure in the earthen vessel that brings forth this beautiful testimony that God wants us to live and to have. And so, the inspiration and encouragement that we have is what will be for us who hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen? And brothers and sisters, we have to understand this. We got it. We got it. It's just like every one of these Gentile brides. It wasn't for anybody else. It was theirs. It was theirs. It wasn't, you know, for, I'm not going to mention names because I might hit one here. I'm just throwing them out there. But you can get it, this one, this one, this one. No, it was Ruth. And now you can say it wasn't this one, this one, this one. It was Irma. Danae, you see. Mark, Michael, praise God. That's how exact this is. This is how all-powerful this is. It hasn't changed, but it's now been unveiled for us. It's been revealed. The mystery, praise God, we know this. And you can see it, can't you? And can't you see it's for you? That's the beauty of this. It's exact. You see it for you. It couldn't be anything else because the Word of God says it so. But then in those hidden things that are now made manifest and revealed, you see it. And it's exciting. And it's wonderful and all-powerful that he loves us like that. So we have got it. We have got grace and mercy, enlightened eyes of understanding. Did you hear that? You have grace and mercy, enlightened eyes of understanding. And that's the only enlightened eyes of understanding I want to have is grace and mercy. Because when I see that, I see all the fullness of God. And in seeing it and believing it, I'm filled with all the fullness of God. And I love that. That's the eyes that see grace. That's the eyes that see mercy. That's why the cherubim look at nothing else but that wonderful mercy seat. His work, his blood, it's finished. It's all been given. I'm ascending and sending the one, the power of my might that will perform it all. How exciting! How complete, exact, and all-loving, if you will, because that's the power, is the love of God for me and for you. And that's what we rejoice in. So, as the Word of God encourages us, we hold thou that fast, which thou hast. I'm it. Hallelujah. And I don't go parading around in a proud mark, but I'm thankful. But I'm also bold in it, because I know he loves me. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love these brides-to-be and all of that. You know, they actually put their announcements up here and things. I'm getting married. My husband's going to marry me. Hallelujah. And not that I've apprehended. I understand that. But I'm confident in his grace. I'm assured in his mercy. And I'm believing him that he will finish the good work which he's begun in me. Amen? That's our confidence. So, in that, that's the first love that remains, that no man take that crown. Now, tonight we're going on, as I mentioned, her name is Ruth. Ruth means beauty, friend, companion. Sounds like a good wife to me. Now, they've started with other names too, so don't feel bad if you didn't start out all loving. I started out as a porcupine with God. How are we going to, you know, no. But he loves you, you know. He'll bring you in, get those scalers off you, and he loves you. I was reading about that Shulamite again. The fairest among women, right from the very beginning. Amen. We're going to find out that, boy, when she went to the field of grace, you had me right there, honey. And it's amazing who shows up at the field of grace. So it's the Redeemer. I'm going to find my wife in that field of grace. I'm going to find that one that's out there getting the fruit. It's where we're at tonight. You know that, don't you? We're getting the fruit. We're out here. Amen. And that's who the Father is seeking, the true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. Amen. All right. So the story of Ruth. It has a great testimony in this precious story, for Israel. And I would encourage each and every one of us to read the Grace and Glory booklet online for that. There is a great encouragement of and for Israel in this story. I want you to know that. It's marvelous. But I'll also tell you, there is another layer of glory for us. There is a testimony within Ruth that had been hidden, but now is revealed. And as I was encouraged of the Lord, I love the glory for Israel, but I especially love the glory that shall be revealed in me for him. Amen. Now, this story of Ruth tells it, and it shows it to us. And once again, as we've studied these Gentile brides, how could it not be, brothers and sisters? This, once again, is a Gentile woman who is redeemed, but she's given more than that, just brought into the family. There's more for her. She's made the Redeemer's wife. There's a pattern, and it's the same pattern over and over and over. I don't want you just in the family. I want to marry you. Amen. Amen. Right? It's just like with Adam. I don't want to just give you a friend. I want to take a rib out there and give you a wife. It was right from the get-go. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. And we're thankful that he loves us like this. So, once again, we're back to my sister, my spouse. We saw the sister and spouse, obviously, very clearly in the life of Tamar. Remember that? She was brought into the family of Judah. And then she ends up, if you will, in a way, really, Judah's wife, because that was the offspring. And then we saw the same thing in Rahab. She was brought in, redeemed, but but then she becomes Salmon's wife. So this goes on and on. And now we're going to have precious Ruth. We're going to see she's redeemed in the family, but then Boaz is going to make her his wife. And once again, if you go to Matthew 1, it's these three women, Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth, that are mentioned again by name in the lineage of Jesus. It's so precious. And then we have Bathsheba. Her name's not mentioned, but it's right there. So I think this settles what we're talking about here in this encouragement to us. So when we come to this precious book of the Bible, once again, everything stops. If you remember, as we studied with, what was the first one I wanted to speak of? Oh, let's speak of Tamar. When we studied Tamar, remember the word of God was going on in Joseph's life, that wonderful revealing of what God was doing in his life. But it's like Joseph's life's just stopped, and now we've got to go and put our whole focus on Tamar, a Gentile bride. And then we saw the same thing in a type with Rahab. Here comes God delivering Israel out of the wilderness. And here they come into the promised land, and they're ready to go in and do all of these great things. But the story stopped. No, we got to talk about Rahab. We got to talk about the wife. And so once again, we come to a point in the Word of God. And I have to say, even before we get to that, it reminds me of the silence in heaven for a half hour. Do you remember that in Revelation chapter 8? It's so sweet because Revelation, I mean, it's building and building and building about, you know, the judgment and all of the things that are going to go on. But it's like, whoosh, everything stopped. We're going to have silence in heaven for a half hour. It's like, what? Oh, yeah, I forgot. They're going to consummate the marriage, so everybody, shh. Do you see how everything just stops for her? It stops. Everything is stopped for you. Till he that hinders is taken out of the way, it is not going to get going. It's held back. And to know that great love. So here we are with Ruth. And this book comes after the book of Judges. And Judges, it's true, is a book of failure. God had so graciously and mightily delivered Israel and wanted to encourage them and then brought them into the promised land and all of this encouragement to their lives, but yet they didn't yield to God. And so the book of Judges really speaks of the failure of Israel. Very, very sad. So you would think, well, let's put our confidence in God and let's just jump right into the kings, because even though they're not going to accept God, at least God will, in his faithfulness, will bring a king. Eventually David. So let's just jump over to Kings, but we're not going to do that. There's got to be a Ruth. And we're going to talk about Ruth. And matter of fact, we're really going to talk about Ruth, because once again, this is the bridal encouragement that I know that they're going to need on April 18th, 2018 at 1701 South Sherman. And if you don't think it's that exact, you're not seeing it. If you don't think everything is stopped tonight again, even for us personally and individually, that this is what this is about, you really don't know what it's about. He loves you like this. He is passionate about you like this. And he wants nothing between. Nothing between. Praise God. All right. So, right now, think of this. Our precious Jesus is waiting at the right hand of God. We are in a time of great falling away. Matter of fact, you would say we're in a time of great failure. Are we not? Yes, we are. But a queen, a wife, is coming for him. And when he takes her, then shall the king reign on the throne with her. Praise the Lord. I thank him again for this encouragement. Now, we're not going to read through the book of Ruth. I encourage you all to go back. And I know some have already started, because there was probably a big hint this is where we're going. But continue to read through it. And we'll give a little bit of an outline, but what we're going to do is touch upon the glories. But I will have to say, you know, we've been hitting these at about 2 weeks at a pop. and there's no way. We're going to be hanging out in Ruth for a little while. There's just so many encouragements that continue to just pop up and the Lord is bringing that I know we're going to be gleaning here for a little bit of time. So let's begin with this. Ruth was a Moabite. And the Moabites, if you will, they originated from the incest between Lot. This is the incest between Lot and his eldest daughter. That is talked about in Genesis chapter 19. And the product of that incest was a son, and they named him Moab. And that's where the Moabites spring from, is that incestual time between Lot and his oldest daughter. So the word Moab or Moabite means, who is your father? This is very clear. What this is going at is that this was a people who left the faith. This was a people that were discouraged, rebellious, and living, if you will, in spiritual darkness. And it's so sad to think a life wondering, who is my father? But once again, as God shows us, who is rich in mercy, this was the one exactly who his sights were on. This is where he was going to bring that one from. That is the one he was going to show this great grace upon. His heart would be for this Gentile bride. Now, to even take it further, this is how much the sights of God were on this precious Gentile bride, Ruth. And I appreciate Brother Scott because he just spurred my heart going back and thinking about this. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and we're in kind of the middle of, if you will, the law and ordinances that were given to Moses. And this was part of the ordinances that were given specifically about the Moabites. And so let's see what was said here about the Moabites, if you will, in verse 3. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. So 10 generations. Well, if you go back and you look where that first one was born, Moab, back there in Genesis 19, you can track that right at about 500 years later. Here was the 10, and she's a 10, and her name was Ruth. Isn't that sweet? See, a bride for Jesus is always a 10. You always have to remember that. And that's, what is it, responsibility according to ability. I always like to think of that so sweetly as fully mature. Think of the responsibility according to the ability that the Lord has given you. The day and the age of the Holy Ghost of all truth, the day and age to be filled with all the fullness of God. What kind of ability is that? What kind of responsibility is that? I sure need all grace for that, don't you? And we're thankful because there we can see that that would be a life that would live that fully mature praise to God. So, here we go. We have another bride, if you will. Another one of these wives, a Moabite, was from African descent, even Asian. And I love this study because whether it was Zipporah or Asenath, Tamar, Rahab, there's going to be more, believe it or not. We have all the races. All the races in the bride. Out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. It's glorious. And I thank the Lord. He again, whom he foreknew, he knows you. And he knows the day and the age we face. We know all the things that are going to try to distract and get at us. But the one thing we know is the one that loves us. And this is him. And this is why, once again, the beauty of the unity in the diversity of God. It's gorgeous. And thanks be to God, we have it. It is the evidence of what the Lord has for us. So rejoice in this and care for this precious assembly that the Lord's given us. Now, Ruth marries, as we go into this story. What happens here is Ruth marries a son of Elimelech. And Elimelech is of the tribe of Judah. So, if you will, Ruth was already brought into the family of God. But soon, you know, not too long after marrying this son of Elimelech, he dies. And she is basically left alone with her sister-in-law. Her name is Orpah. And she is also married to one of the brothers of or the sons of Elimelech. And he dies as well, too. So we have these two widows. And they're with their mother-in-law, Naomi. And so that's kind of where we're at. And if you will, you see the story unfolding again as Tamar, you have this outcast Gentile that yet is the all-consuming attraction of the eyes of God, that this is the one that's going to be for me. This is the one that's going to be for me. And this pattern, and I thank God because we need to be told this over and over. You know why? Get over it. You're insecure. You know it. 5 minutes out of here driving home, what did he say? What did the word of God say? Amen. Amen. I love you. Adore you. You're highly favored. This is really, you talk about the passion, you know, as they say. This is the passion. The passion of the bridegroom for the bride. The passion, praise God, that you would be this for him. So, once again, Ruth knows the God of Israel, and early on, she pledges her devotion and her faith in the God of Israel, if you will, much like Rahab. Remember when she told the spies, your God is the God. I believe this. So she has this testimony. If you go back over to Ruth, and in verse 16, she expresses this with her heart. She says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. This is with Naomi. And once again, her husband has died. Naomi's just telling the two daughter-in-laws, you just remain here in Moab. You go find other husbands. Go live your life. You don't want to be with me. I'm sad, and I'm going back to the house of bread. So Ruth says to her, entreat me not to leave thee, Naomi, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. I think I've heard those three words before. I've heard them in the Word of God. You know my testimony. I heard this life say this in a parking lot off of 6th Avenue when I was 17 years old. I want to marry you. And at that time, I told him I will go. And I thanked the Lord. And my life's never been the same ever since. Oh, it's changed many a time, but it was set different at that moment, praise God. And where thou lodgest, she says, I will lodge. And here we go. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Think of the things, again, in this Gentile testimony of the bride that is being expressed here. All of these things, and this is really hitting me right now. She says, I'm not going to leave you. We're going to see that Naomi is such a type of the Holy Ghost. We're going to get into that here in a minute. This is a life that dwells in the Spirit. This is a life that's going to be led by the Spirit. This is a life that hooks up their life to that camel on the I will go camel and goes. And this is it. Then you think of next, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. So right there we're getting to, Lord, have your way. Have your way. These are big statements, but I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, will comfort you all the way. Amen? Then, thy people shall be my people. Now we're talking about love without dissimulation. Amen? Come on. Oh, I can't go there because so-and-so's there. Huh? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Your people are my people. That's it. It's done. Whether they want me or not, I'm here. I'm here. You got to think about a lot of these Gentile brides. When they were brought in, Don't think there was a big party going. There had to be lots of, what? Do you know who that is? She's not one of us. Huh? Come on. Whether act like, look like, whatever it would be, think about Rahab. You don't think that those people, when he brought her back in and married her, that was a prostitute. Just like them fellas that were criticizing and said, oh, Jesus, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't even let her touch you. He says, all I know is when I walked in here, that woman has been touching my feet with her tears from the moment I came in here. Okay, once again, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Praise the Lord. So take this encouragement. So we see right there that she says, this is my God. So we see there that she is of the family of God. She accepts that. She is entered in. We know that that is there. But it's later on. That's just the beginning. That's just now it's starting. Because now she's going to be led of that encouragement, Naomi, who's going to take her to the house of bread, the Holy Ghost, and get her ready and show her how to marry the Redeemer. Amen? See the pattern over and over and over again. How beautiful and clear to us. I loved what we studied on Sunday morning. Encouraged my heart greatly. And in Colossians chapter 1, really outlined these verses here. I think this is as clear as anywhere in the Word of God, this message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think the clarity in verses 26 and 27 of chapter 1 of Colossians gives us, and actually if you back up to 25 through 27, and you could throw in 28 and rest of the chapters actually, but if you just take these three or four verses, you really can lock in to who this is for and what the Lord is speaking of here. And as we start there in verse 25, wherefore, and this is Paul saying, I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And truly understand that that word fulfill means to complete the word of God. What was given to Paul completes the word of God. Once again, what was given to Paul? The message of the bride for Jesus. So what is going to complete the word? What is going to complete Jesus Christ is his wife. It's just right there. It's right there. He's seated at the right hand of God. He will take the throne as God, but only at the time that he has his wife, that he is complete. And what is complete at that time? It's just the completing of the word. It's all him, is it not? See, it's still all him. He gets all the glory because it's all the word. One with him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Do you see how it just goes on and on and on? To it just explodes, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. And you see that. That's the beauty of it. The clarity, how clear it is to the light. Cine Sears, we've heard for years. I see it, Brother Hill. I see it. I understand why you were so frustrated with me for times. But I see it now. Isn't it wonderful? His son's smiling so sweet. Praise God. Amen. But you know, it's ours. Hallelujah. All of that planting, all of that watering. Can you imagine something grew up? Hallelujah. Because God gave the increase. Now, it goes on to say, so that fulfillment of the word of God. Even the mystery, once again, that hath been hid from ages and from generations. So we know generations is speaking of people. We don't have to get goofy in that. It's just been hidden, as it says in Ephesians, from the sons of men. We know that was a hidden thing. But now is made manifest to his saints. And how was it made manifest once again? Because it was the dispensation that was given to Paul. We just read it in the verse before. So we know that. But who was it for? Was it for the world? Was it for unbelievers? Was the bridal message for the world? Oh no. Oh no. Uh-uh. The bridal message is for his saints. It is for his saints. Read the word of God. Who is this for? It now is made manifest to his saints. It's vitally important that you see that. It was just like the Holy Ghost. When he was sending the Holy Ghost, was he sending the Holy Ghost, if you will, at Pentecost, did he send it to the world? Or did he send it to the vessels? His saints. Those 40 that were waiting for it, that knew it was coming, that knew the word of God and believed him that he was going to send the Holy Ghost. Just like Jesus, as he sent them out. Hast thou received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? So once again, I'll ask the question. Can a sinner receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost? No. You have to be a believer. Now that could happen right after the moment that you receive Christ as Savior. I've seen people that have been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. They got a double portion right there. But I'll tell you what, it happened exactly in that order. They were saved, then filled. So this is what is so precious about this. You see that this was more. And this was sent, praise God, to the saints. And we see what was sent and exactly what it was. Now what is it to whom God would make known? So it's these saints that would receive this mystery that was hidden, this completion of the word of God, the bridal truth. To whom, that's who, God would make known what is the what? The riches of his glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory of the mystery. The bride. The bride. She descends from heaven there in Revelation 21. Having the glory of God. That's the glory. That's the riches of his glory. The riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy. The cherubim that look at the mercy seat. See, it's just, it's all woven perfectly without a seam. It's just perfect. Isn't it exciting? Yes. And just in three little verses, because of all the line upon line and precept upon precept by the Holy Ghost, here it comes. So the riches of the glory of this mystery, not a mystery, but this mystery. A what? Among the Gentiles. And I will encourage you, as you go back and you read what they're even speaking of in these Gentiles, these are saved ones. This isn't speaking of, in a sense, a race of people. This is speaking of saved ones out from that people, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. So right there, we thank the Lord that that same type and shadow is seen over and over in these precious Gentile brides. They were brought into the family of God and they were given more. They were circled out, witnessed to, shown such grace and mercy, they never saw it coming. But praise God, when they got in there and they began to see it, they said, I want it. And you saw ones like Tamar, we saw ones like Rahab. They were incensed. They would do anything. If by any means, just like Paul said, they would do anything to have it. Do you think they even would glory in their infirmities to have it? Isn't this exciting? I love the Lord ministering to my heart. Will you glory in your infirmities to have it? Will you be to open shame? Even to yourself, finally, to face these things. Well, Lord, it just had to be. Amen. See, I'm thinking this for Sunday, too. A lot of folks think about right steps. Oh, I'm going to make the right steps. You better be thinking about before ordained good steps. The good works. that we should walk therein. There's a difference. Isn't it fun? Now, we see in this story, we'll close this up for tonight, the difference between Ruth and her sister-in-law, Orpah. Orpah was married, as I said, to another one of, actually, it would be Ruth's brother. And as he died as well, we'll see that Orpah didn't have the devotion to God as Naomi did. I mean, assume as Ruth did. As Orpah, as we're going to read here in just a moment, as you go back to Ruth, it says, when Naomi encouraged both the girls, oh, you go back. Orpah, it says, kisses her and leaves. But it says Ruth cleaves. She doesn't leave. Ruth realizes that there is nothing else for her life. It really didn't even make sense, though, because in the eyes of the world, everything made sense. Yeah, I guess there really isn't nothing here. I better return to my people, my Moabites, and just live out my life. But there's something about someone who gets the enlightened eyes of understanding. It doesn't make sense to the world, but it makes all the sense to God. And they make the move. They make the move. They don't even realize, but they're led. They're drawn. That love captivates. And then after a while, then you begin to realize that's the faithfulness of God. So you don't know right away. You walk by faith. And then as you walk by faith, he'll show you deeper chambers, doesn't he? Amen? See how he does that in our lives? But it's beautiful. But you trust God. You go after the word, and this is what will always happen. So we see that she returns to the house of bread with Naomi. So let's go ahead and read from Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. It says, this is, once again, Orpah and Ruth. They lift up their voice, and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And as we read, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Gave it all up. I'm in. That's the difference. That is the difference, brothers and sisters, between the Philadelphia First Love Company and the Ephesus. They left the First Love Company. And that's the difference. That is. It's love. And that devotion. So it wasn't that Orpah didn't love Naomi, but it wasn't first love. Or she couldn't have gone anywhere else. So this brings Naomi into this type and shadow to us. And actually, Naomi's name, even the meaning of it, means everything to us. Naomi, the name means lovely one and pleasant. Okay? We'll get to the bitter in just a moment. But her name means lovely one and pleasant. Isn't that what the word is? It's sweet to the mouth. Amen? It's lovely. It's pleasant. But she says, call me bitter, which we know the word is sweet to the mouth, but as we feast on it, it gets bitter to the stomach. Those trials come. There's going to be a trial. Amen. And trial upon trial. And if we'll continue to take the grace of God, we might even get delirious like the brother said. Call it all joy and manifold temptation. Huh? Amen. You got to be in love to say stuff like that. Either that or crazy. So, who brings this all truth as we close this up? Who is it that causes us to go to the house of bread? See, I love that because we're going to read in just a moment to verify this. Naomi is going to take Ruth back to Bethlehem, back to the house of bread. Who leads there? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is always going to lead us to truth. Always going to take more steps to more truth. Always going to bring us back to the fellowship of the house of bread. One of the greatest indicators of where your life is headed is right there. It's very plain. It's very simple. Where are you going? Where are you headed? What's first in your life? Is it compromise or is it the house of bread? Are you going to tell God how and why and which way you're going to live? Or is it going to be the house of bread? Amen. Come on now. This is it. Lord's turning up the heat here in Denver. It's expensive to live here. It ain't what it used to be in a lot of ways. It's become the epicenter of a lot of evil. But I'll tell you what, if he's called this little Joseph out to say, hey, this is the hothouse, I'm going to raise you up to be ruling and reigning together jointly with me, I'm in. Amen? Don't you think that there weren't times, hey, you know, I could be down warm, hitting a little, that little white ball around and, you know, doing all that. I'm glad that was just a fleeting moment. I get some Holy Ghost golf with that brother over there. Huh? We're talking about eternity, amen? Come on. We want to please him. So in this, we'll see that Naomi is this precious encouragement type of the Holy Ghost to us Gentiles, bringing us to the hand in marriage of the Redeemer. That's where it's going to be. You want to marry Jesus? You're going to have to go deep into the house of bread. You're going to have to go deep into all truth. And make those moves into that truth and more of it. And we will see specifically how she instructs Ruth to get it. Just like the chamberlain for Esther. Just like the Holy Ghost for us. And let's close it by reading verse 22. God willing, we'll be in chapter 2 next week. So it says, Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I'll tell you what, when that starts happening, you know something good's going down. And something good is about to happen. Hallelujah. So I thank the Lord. It is. These are things that the Lord put on my heart to bring us into this. And I pray this will be something you'll really enjoy. I think it'll just bring us further in love with him. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.